Blog Talk Radio.
Take a step, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell. Lift up my eyes, all God's children to stand. Tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, stand for holiness.
For holiness.
Oh.
And for righteousness.
And be counted,
and be counted among them that shall reign with him.
Hey, oh,
stand.
Hey,
with
hey,
friends are called.
Oh.
Stand with your all.
And believe
he shall receive his own.
Take a stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, I'd rather live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children to stand, stand. Everybody say it,
you stand.
Oh, mm-hmm. Stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Oh.
Stand for righteousness.
Well, God bless you. You're listening to David and Diane Ministry and Friends, and I'm Lady Diane Shaw, Prophetess Shaw, and I'm so excited to have you here with us on today. Well, I won't be before you long, but the Lord has given me a word on this inspirational day. Amen. I want to welcome all those that's listening by way of Facebook, Skype, Twitter, Blog Talk, or if you're just listening through the archives, I welcome you. I believe the Lord has a word for you on today. Amen. You know, I have been so blessed to have the Lord give me these awesome words that has been inspiring about the light and the darkness. And also now we've added a twist on how the light and darkness connecting to good and evil. I believe we're living in a day and time whereas our eyes have got to be open. Amen. So I am very happy to be here on this day, and I'm happy that you're here as well. And I believe the Lord has a word. Amen. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Well, Lord God, we thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Father God, we want to thank you for this opportunity, for this day that you've given to us, Lord God, to go through your word, to seek your face, Lord God, to connect in one as one in the spirit. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you open up the eyes of your people that we may see, and your ear, our ears that we may hear, and our heart that we may receive. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for a revelation, illumination. Lord God, we pray for understanding of your word. Give us wisdom and knowledge right now, Lord God, as your servant, as I decrease and you increase. I pray, Father God, for the anointing word that will destroy the yoke, break the chains of bondage. Father, we living in a day and time right now, Lord God, where those are calling good evil and evil good. We pray, Father God, that you, Lord God, bring forth truth through your word on this evening. We give you praise and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you again. I'm Lady Diane Shaw, and I'm happy to be here with you. I am live right now, and I am so happy to see that we have many people listening in, especially even throughout all the other countries. It's such a blessing that we have this technology that allows people to connect on all levels of life. Amen. So praise God. Well, let's get started. Again, I am so happy to have you here. Amen. And I know my husband, David Ambrose Shaw, he's out there listening. He is so supportive of the things that we do here in David and Diane Ministry and Friends. He's very faithful on his post as he does his Bible reading Monday through Friday. If you haven't listened in, you have got to catch him. He is theatric. It's awesome how he brings the word through the reading of the Bible. I believe he's presently in Isaiah. He started in Genesis. And he starts reading Central Standard Time at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. So you can listen to him. And he's also, if you're on the West Coast, that would be 4 to 5, and if you're in Mountain Standard Time, that would be 5 to 6. And, of course, Eastern is 7 to 8. Amen. Well, let's get to it. Again, I have a word from the Lord. I'm going to be talking to you about the prophetic battle between light and darkness. You know, I had shared with you on how in the beginning God created light and dark. And when he created light, he said it was good, but he never called the dark good. Amen. My scripture reading for today is going to be coming from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Okay, 1 through 3. I'll make sure my volume's up. All right. Okay, so my scripture is reading. It's going to be Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. And it reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of the arising." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. So today, as we see here in Isaiah, that scripture is being fulfilled. Yes, there is darkness in our world today. There are evil and hatred and danger and war and demonic influence, but there is also light. And you and I are a vital part of that light. We are a vital part of the light. The battle between light and darkness is not new. It is not new. It has been going on through the ages. Indeed, it is the most important battle in all of human history. Through both the pages of throughout scriptures and all the stories in the histories, we see again and again that Satan's hatred of God, and particularly of God's chosen people, Satan hates you. Satan hates me. We are God's chosen people. God's chosen people have led to continued threats and attacks. Whether it be in Egypt, Assyrian, Babylonian, Greeks, Romans, the Crusades, the Holocaust, there is a clear line of spiritual warfare that's going on. In our day, the hatred, there's so much hatred, you know, against even hatred that's directed toward Israel. We see back in the days when God always called out a people, a chosen people. And whoever God's chosen people were or are will be the ones that will be forever under attack by the enemy. Amen? There is something very demonic that goes on in the earth. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. The outcome of the spiritual war between darkness and light is determined. God will triumph, but he has called us to do our part in this battle. We must understand that, yes, there is a light and there is darkness. It is real. There is a spiritual warfare that is going forth on this day. If you have chosen to stand for what's good in this earth, you will be under spiritual attack. We are talking about the kingdom of God versus the power of darkness. You can choose to be a spectator and victim or a warrior. You even get to choose sides, but you cannot be neutral. The choices have everlasting consequences in life and in the next. We are a people called by God. Amen. We are people called by God. To this point, the only understanding that we must understand is the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus Christ. How he came to earth. He died for our sins. And we don't have to be lost. We don't have to be experience eternal death from God. You know, in Joshua, it talks about if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Joshua says, choose this day who you will serve, whether it be the gods of your forefathers who served beyond the rivers or the gods of the Amorites or whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make a choice on who we will serve. We see, you see, I see the good and the evil that is out there. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Choose this day whom you will serve." Choose this day whom you will serve. And we must understand there will always be a warfare. There will always be a battle between good and evil. You will always be in a battle. You will always be sought after. When you stand for what's right, you know, John P. Key, his song is Stand for Holiness. When you stand for holiness, and when you make a stand for what God is calling right, you will always be in a battle. That battle is the battle of good versus evil. The battle of good versus evil. Amen. There is a battle on earth, a battle on earth within. This battle has been going on for ages. And it started even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve took of the fruit. There will be a battle. There will be a battle. But know this, everything in the universe has originated from the one God. One God. The God principle is everything in the universe and also exists beyond it. From this perspective, both good and evil have originated from the God principle, from God's principle, according to the spiritual law of our Creator. Everything originated from God. So we don't want to get it misunderstood. Nothing is greater than God. Nothing is more powerful than God. Nothing. So since both the good and the evil come from the supreme God, his principle, they also get the spiritual energy from God. And this may seem like a paradox, however, it can best be understood by understanding that God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. The mission of good forces, the forces that are out there, there is a force of good and there is a force of evil. And sometimes we think that the evil forces that are out there will overtake the good, but it won't. There's something so powerful about the light. The light will always shine and penetrate through the darkness. At any given opportunity, evil forces in this universe are always trying to weigh in. And despite the demonic forces constantly attempts to reduce the power of God, it will always fail. It will always fail. Nothing will overtake the power of God. Nothing. We have to understand that God is all-powerful. God is all
powerful. Amos said in Amos chapter 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Seek good. It is God's will that we seek good. It is God's will that we seek the light. If you will listen to what God has to say, and if you will listen and obey, it will bring you into a place with God that will shine the light of things that's coming your way. First, when we are talking about the fight between good and evil, we are in effect speaking about God and Satan. See, you're going to either be on God's side or you're going to be on Satan's side. God is holy. That is morally perfect. God is perfect. 1 Peter chapter 1, 16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Whereas the Bible teaches that Satan is a lying murderer. He's a murderer. He is in the dark, and everything about him is in the dark. He is a murderer and the father of all liars and murderers. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. When you are a part of the Satan's family, you will do the things that the devil do. He is the father of lust. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil. When he speaketh, he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of this. So picture God on one side of the battlefield and Satan on the other. All of the evil that we see in society today come from men's sin nature. You understand? All of the evil that you're seeing is coming from our sinful nature and Satan existing in the world. So we have sin, the sin nature, and then we have Satan. This is what you see when you see evil. The devil, for the devil to accomplish his goal in the world, what does he need? For the devil to accomplish his goal, which is evil, he needs mankind, he needs you, or he needs me, he needs somebody to serve him and to worship him loyally. He's looking for people to serve him loyally. Due to man's sin nature and the love of money, people have a love of money, which is the root of all evil. It's never difficult for the devil to convince people to sell their soul. Every day, the devil is recruiting people. He's recruiting them through lust. He's recruiting them through worship of idols, loving the things that God said he hates. If God hates it, you have to hate it. I have to hate it. Amen? We're talking about light and darkness. We're talking about standing for what God says is the light. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20, it says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to the work in the evil sight of the Lord. So every time that you see someone flesh, it shows their allegiance to Satan. Whenever you see someone in the flesh, you will see their allegiance to Satan and like-minded worshipers of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 teaches that Satan is the god of this world. This world, yes. This is why we see so many occults meeting hidden secret organizations around the world, because the devil is so subtle. Nearly everyone in the dark concerning a true agenda has a, people in the dark have agendas. There are numerous secret societies throughout which Satan accomplishes his evil bidding. There are people that's working for the enemy, for the devil, day in and day out. But you and I must remain children of the light, children of the Most High God. We must continue to stay on our post and do the things that God is calling us to do. Amen. I'm going to play a song right now, and when I come back, we're going to continue this story about light and darkness, the battle between good and evil.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
I almost let go.
Let go. How many of you are out there today that almost let go? Amen. Well, you've been listening to David and Diane Ministries and Friends, and I've been on the air for about 15, 20 minutes now. Thank you for those that's tuning in. We had to take a little song break, but we've been talking about this battle. We've been talking about the light and the darkness, the battle between good and evil, and I'm so happy for those that are you that are tuning in, that's just tuned in with me. Amen. You know, we've been talking and how God has given us all an assignment while here on earth. Amen. And, you know, without the Bible, we've been talking about the difference between good and evil and that light and darkness and how God created the light and the darkness, but yet he called the light good, but he didn't call darkness good, you know, and that makes us all want to, if you think about it, you have to make a choice where you want to be a part of the light or the darkness, the good and the evil. And without the Bible, people cannot discern. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know what's good and evil. Amen? As we read through the Bible, you know, my husband's been faithfully reading through Genesis, through Revelation. I believe he's in Isaiah now. You can tell by reading, as he's reading the word, good, what good comes out, what's evil, what God calls good is there. God called good, good, and evil, evil. But we're living in a world now that if you don't know your word, if you don't know the Bible, you can very, very easily get hoodwinked. You can get twisted. You know what I'm saying? For real. So one of the hardest things for people to do in life is figure out who is evil and who is good. Oh, sure. It's not hard to discern. We all know Adolf Hitler. You know the story about Adolf Hitler, right? He was evil. I mean, the things he did. And then we know Mother, when you think about Mother Teresa, you know, we say, oh, she's such a good, you know that. You see, okay, her deeds, the things she did, she was good. And the things that Hitler did, which was bad. If you believe the word of God and are familiar with the teachings, then you know that trusting in good works, when you see someone doing good works, it is a path to eternal life with God. Then you know that trusting in good works, you know what the Bible is saying. The problem is that most people reject the Bible as the inspired author by God. People don't trust the Bible. So if you don't trust the Bible, you're not going to trust what it says. People don't believe that God is the author of his book. That's God's book. But if you don't believe it, then you're not going to follow it. You're not going to trust it. If you don't accept the Bible as authored by God, then you won't place any importance upon his teaching. But if you recognize every word of the Bible, listen to what I said, if you recognize every word of the Bible as inspired by an omnipotent, which is all-powerful, an omniscient, all-knowing God, then you will fear God. King David, I believe it was Psalm 36, verse 1, you know what he said? He said, the transgression of the wicked says within my heart that there is no fear of God. There is no God before his eyes. A person who do not believe that there is no God has no fear of God, and they don't have him in their heart. So the way of salvation is a trivial, it's a matter to many people because they have been brainwashed. People have been brainwashed all their life to believe that a good God is understanding to the point of compromising and breaking his own rule. Oh, I can do what I want in this life. Isn't God good? God's a good God. He's not going to judge me on my sins and the things I'm doing. God is too good for that. I'm a very sincere person. Amen. But we also know, we've been warned in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 16, verse 25. What does it say? There is a way which seemeth right unto men. You think you're right, but the end thereof is the way of death. You think what you're doing is right, but it's going to bring you death. We're talking about good and evil, knowing the difference between good and evil and the light and darkness. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, what does it say? It says, therefore, by the deeds is your action, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, what does it say? It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, Mother Teresa was, in a sense, you can see, not someone that was perfect, but when you think of evil, when we think of evil, we think of the evil, the works, the things that people do. There's a lot of evil that's going on in the dark, things that we don't see, evil. There's so much evil that's going on in the world, but that evil will be judged. That evil will be judged. There is a spiritual battle between good and evil. Good and evil over the truth. Satan uses lies. He uses deception to rule the world. The scripture, there is scripture prophecy that the Antichrist, when he comes, would use lying wonders to deceive the masses of the population. You know, lying is a weapon to mislead and deceive the public. Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. So many people don't get it. The devil lies because if he told the truth, you'll run away from him. Yeah, if Satan, the serpent, had told Eve the truth of what was going to happen to her and Adam, which if he would have told the truth, if you listen to me, you're going to get banned from the Garden of Eden. Well, she likely would have cursed the serpent, hit him with a big stick, but instead Eve gave the devil a big stick to hit her with. Oh, how the devil is a beautiful liar. He is a liar. And I have to say this, the American news, the news media, they are notorious for lying. There's a key teaching in Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all her servants are wicked. We have to be careful that we do not allow the news media or anything that we're hearing through the airwaves to control what we believe. Our teaching, our belief has to come from the Word of God. This is where we get our teaching from. We are people of the faith. We are people of the Most High God. And we will not be hoodwinked or blinded by the enemy. Many of us are presently aligning with God. We are aligning with his word. That's powerful. The enemy does not want us to be in alignment, because once we get in alignment with God, we can hear God clearly. We're focused. We're sensitive to his spirit. God gives us his heart. What you and I have to do, saints of the Most High, ask God to give you a spiritual eyesight. Pray. Pray for the ability to see how unseen spiritual forces impact your daily life. Ask God questions about anything you wonder about, whether his angel, his demon. Ask God to expose the darkness. Now keep in mind that God welcomes your questions and wants to give you the knowledge, the wisdom, the discernment you need to fight and to win these spiritual battles. God is not keeping anything from you. When he sees that your heart is set on him in alignment and you desire to do his will, you will begin to see things that you never seen before. The veil will come out of your eyes. You will see it's almost like a baby being birthed. When the baby come out, the baby don't know anything but what it sees. That is what it's like when you finally have a spiritual understanding. You're no longer in darkness. And for some of us, we may have been walking with God, but we now have reached a place in God that we've crossed over, and we have now been birthed into in an anointing that God can now use us. You and I must get to know how Satan operates. No, we're not worshiping him, but just like fighters that are in a ring, they understand. You have to know your opponent. The enemy has studied us. Don't let the unpleasantness of thinking about Satan prevent you from learning what you need to know. Because we are in a real serious light and dark, good and evil battle. Demons who lead the spiritual forces of evil in this world, they study you. They know what you like. They know how to tempt you. They know how to bring things your way that will get you to separate from God, and that's what they want. Satan tries to lead God's people astray, away, by appearing desirable, even as he pursues evil actions with his evil motive. The devil would twist the truth and lies, and is designed to pull us away from God, but we can't let that happen. The enemy's primary strategy for tempting you and tempting us is the sin, urging us to sin, urging us to pursue lustful desires, to operate in the flesh. So keep in mind, though Satan's power is limited, and while God's power is unlimited, and if you're a Christian, you have the spiritual authority you need to overcome any of Satan's schemes against you. No weapon formed against you should prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, God shall condemn. So let's put on our battle gear, just as soldiers prepare for earthly battle by putting on our physical gear. It's important for you to prepare for spiritual battles by putting on the gear that the Bible describes it as the armor of God. We're not just out here. We have on armor. What are the armors? We put on the belt of truth by living. What is the belt of truth? The belt of truth is living with honesty and integrity, because the devil knows if he can get you to live in a dishonest life and live in a life that has no integrity, even though you have your Bible and you claim to be a believer, he know he has you. But we must wear that belt of truth around us and remain honest with integrity. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. And what is that righteousness? By pursuing purity. Purity. Then we stand on the gospel of peace by trusting God to empower you to deal successfully with any situation you face, and letting the reality of his help give you peace in all circumstances. We then put on the shield of faith by having faith in God's promise to do what he says he will do, which will give you courage when you face challenges, and you will face challenges. Put on the helmet of salvation by protecting your mind. Our mind is where the enemy will get at. That's why we must be careful of what we see with our eyes, hear with our ear, because this is how the enemy penetrates to us, through our spirit, through our eyes. Protect your eyes. Protect your mind from unhealthy thoughts. And asking the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to renew your mind daily. That's in Psalms 51. I love that prayer of repentance. Lord, renew my mind daily. Amen. It's a daily prayer. It's a daily prayer. It's a daily prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitudes of your tender mercy. Blot out. We ask God, blot it out. Blot it out, my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins are always before me, which is saying I know where I'm falling short. I know where my sins are. God, you make sure it's right there before me. It's against you, and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Why? Because God is an all-seeing God. God sees you in the midst of your darkness. God sees you when you sin. God sees you when no one else sees you. God is right there. You and only you have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And we shall all be judged for our sins. And we can't say, Lord, no, because God said, yes, I see all. And then it goes on to say, and blameless when you judge. So behold, I was brought before in iniquity. We were birthed in sin. And sin, my mother conceived me. And behold, you desire truth in the inward part. And in the inward part, hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Then it goes on, and I'm talking about Psalms 51, my favorite chapter in the book of Psalms, where he says, verse 7, it goes, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. There will be a time when it will feel like your bones are broken. But even in the midst of your brokenness, you can rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Now, here is where we're all at. Create in me a clean heart. God, give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart, Lord God. Renew that steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, O God, the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. So when I bring a change, when I begin to start living right and turning my life, when I turn toward God, when I get it right, when I come out of the darkness into the light, when you come out of the darkness into light, we, others, will see that light, and it will be bright, and it will draw people toward God. So, yes, our change glorifies God. When we change our direction from the darkness to the light, God gets all the glory. Amen. God gets all of the glory. Amen. We must pay attention to the battle of our mind. This is really where the enemy first attacks, in our mind. Satan often attacks us by planting the idea that we can't trust God in our mind. Every sin can be traced back to that one deceptive thought. Every sin that you and I have ever done, think about it, it started with a thought. Since what you think ultimately becomes what you do, because all you have to do is think on it for a little while. You think on it, then it's just a matter of time before you do it. Then it's vital. What? Then it's vital to pray regularly for the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, helping you to think thoughts that are praiseworthy, that's positive and productive. That's how we take back our mind. I'm so inspired. My husband, he's leading the way in our home where he prays throughout the day. He goes into his prayer closet one, two, three times, whatever. I don't know. I don't keep up. I just know that the door be shut, and he be's in there spending time. He's conquering his demons, demons that has an assignment to take his life, to take his anointing. And the way he is bowing, as we all should and are doing, is through prayer. We must use the power of God's word to fight. The more you know and understand the word of God, which is the Bible, the more effective you can be worth in this battle, offensively and defensively. We have to use the word as of offensively. Okay, it's like when you drive in a car. You got to drive offensively and defensively, protecting yourself. So in offensive and defensive, and we're overcoming evil with good. We overcome evil with good while in this spiritual battle. We use good. And that's why the Bible also says, don't render evil for evil. You don't have to fight your battle with evil. No, we fight our battle with the good. You can do so by reading it through, thinking clearly about it, writing things down, praying about it, applying its truth. Sometimes being slow to talk. Sometimes we cannot respond the way we used to respond. And that's silence. Because the enemy used to like, okay, I'm going to set him up. Oh, I know this gets to her. I know this gets to him. So I'm going to do this. And the enemy is used to us like, boom, jumping out there, saying things, doing things, bringing us back into what he used to us doing. But what we do is we counter it with good. We don't do what the enemy used to expect us to do. Why? Because we're not that same person no more. We don't do the same things. We don't say the same thing. We don't go to the same places. So we use the power of prayer to fight. And when you pray and I pray, God will bless us with the power, the protection, and the provision. Pray in Jesus' name, calling upon all his resources, merit, and strength. God, give me the strength. Give me the power. Aim to pray by faith, in humility, and with a pure heart. Being consistent with this devotion and acts of worship. And when you pray, and when we pray like that, our prayers will be effective against evil and help us usher into good into every situation. Sometimes we may not be kneeling, but we're just meditating. We're just thinking on the goodness of the Lord. You know what I mean? Just meditate on the goodness. I find myself, while I'm helping my mom or my sister, whatever, you know, especially even with Ruby, you know, she's not talking, but I'm talking for her because I'm talking about the Lord. I'm meditating and I'm, you know, she's not speaking, but I'm connected to her in the spirit realm that she is still a soul and she feels everything. Everything I bring her way, she's feeling it. So I make sure that what I'm giving her is positive forces, positive vibes, good. Meditating on God's word. Amen. We must pay attention to the condition of people's soul. Make daily choices. We have to make a daily choice that will expand our soul, drawing closer to God. The closer we go to God, the closer people around us will get because they don't see God. There's some people that don't see God. They only see God through you. Through me, what we say, what we do. So this is, you know, that's why people say, I like that person's spirit. But what they're really saying is, I like the God in them. We must develop habits of asking ourselves before making decisions. How will this affect this soul? Before we react to someone, we have to say in our mind, stop, look, think. How would this affect this soul? When interacting with other people, remind yourself regularly that they have an eternal life. So it's important for you and I to talk with them about faith and pray for them. Some people, you don't know if this may be their last day. So how we talk to them, how we treat them, all is recorded in a eternal book of God. We must prepare for our judgment day, saints of God. Remember that all of us will one day appear before God. Oh, yes, we're going to appear before God and have to explain the decisions that we made during our lives on earth. Let that knowledge motivate you to live a holy life. When you begin to think that every act, everything said, every deed is we're going to give account before God, that will make us now our intentions and the things we do. We're not just going to be out there doing anything. No, because I'm going to have to give account to this. Amen. Live like hell is real. Now, even though it's tempting to think that hell isn't a real place, it's like, oh, it's not real. The fact remains that it does exist. Hell is real. Keep in mind that Jesus didn't die to save us from a non-existent hell. He died to save us from the real danger of spending eternity in hell apart from God. That's why he died. That we don't have to experience that life. A life experiencing suffering that happens when people are separated from God. Let your knowledge of hell motivate you to pursue God more and to warn others about hell. And last but not least, live like heaven is real. Yes, celebrate the fact that heaven is a real place and prepare to go there one day by placing your faith in Jesus and following his guidance when making decisions. Look forward to an active life in heaven, worshiping God, learning more about God, doing meaningful work, resting, eating, and joining Jesus, the holy angels and other saints to reign victorious over this universe. Oh, yes. Live like your new home is soon to come. Amen. Well, I've come to the end of my message on today, and I want to thank you all for listening in. This is an inspiring message. If you have a comment that you would like to make, feel free to press 1, and I will open up the mic. You've been listening to David and Diane Ministries and Friends, and I'm so happy to have you. Amen. Your mic is open. We have a listener. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, amen, amen. Just want to see if amen. I was there. Praise God. Oh, my God, that was just an awesome message, something in which we needed to hear, something in which
we need
to know. I mean, that truly brings forth a level of understanding and acceptance of where we are to be in our order of responsibility, of divine order. And God just is an awesome God. And I just thank God for you bringing that so close and so to the front, because God is doing a work in my life. And I must do that, because in order for you to get blessed, I have to be in divine order. And that's where we are today. So God bless you. I love you so much. And I thank God for the word. Be blessed.
Thank you. Amen. That was Elder David Ambrose Shaw, my husband, my king, the priest of our home. And he has been doing what God has called him to do. And most important, he has developed his alignment. It's such a powerful thing to watch and see. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Amen. So God bless you all again. This is Lady Prophetess Diane Shaw, and I am going to be signing off right now. I'm looking forward to continuing the series about light and darkness and good and evil. Amen. And we also have Minister Andrew that's going to be also, that has been coming back, and he has his messages that he's been faithfully coming through on Friday. So stay tuned to David and Diane Ministry and Friends. We love you. God bless you. And continue to fight this battle. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shelly John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he looked back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold the mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising him. Well, help me out, y'all.
Tonight.